Let us pray. Amazing Lord, we give thanks to you for this day, for the opportunity to wake up, to feel the air, and to be together here in this sanctuary, Lord, to let your Holy Spirit move us to have a deep relationship with you. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to hear your voice and guide us to be your followers. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me start by being honest with you. I did not grow up knowing anything about American football. Soccer was my world. And that is the real football. That was the game I understood, the game I loved, and for a while, I really thought that influence would last. Then I married a cowboy fan. Then we had a son, and it didn't take very long for my soccer influence to completely disappear. I miss soccer. Before I knew it, football was everywhere in our house, on the TV, in conversations at the dinner table, in a language that I had to slowly learn to understand. Place, positions, strategies, first down, first and 10, field goal, overtime. Things I never imagined I would care about. My son fell in love with the game. Not just casually, he really fell in love with it. Eventually, he became the quarterback of his high school. Wow. I quickly learned that becoming a quarterback doesn't just happen. It took hours and hours of practice, private lessons, Saturday and Sundays practices, and hours and hours and hours of studying film, learning plays, understanding the field, the boundaries, the other players, the strategy, learning when to step up, when to let go of the ball, and when to trust someone else to take it from there. The game, this game, requires extravagant commitment if you want to be really good at it. You just don't show up on game day and hope everything will work out. You listen to the coach, you train, you study, you give yourself to it. Like Tom Brady, the quarterback of quarterbacks, says, you play like you practice. American football matters to many Americans, and even if you are not a big fan of football, today on Super Bowl Sunday, there is a tension on the big game between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. Can you tell that I don't really know much? Many people follow it and give so much importance to this game. They invest a lot of time and money. They buy jerseys, they make bets. They immerse themselves fully in the game and enjoy themselves immensely. What if we took the same energy and gave it to our faith? What if we were as big of a fan of Jesus as we are of football? Today's Bible reading invites us to think about what it means to give ourselves fully, not just a sport, but to a life focused on following Jesus. So let me read John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound, of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money back, and he would take what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial. And this is how she has used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." This scene takes place in Bethany, just days before the Passover. The Passover is a celebration that the Jewish people do to remember the faithfulness of God when he rescued them from slavery in Egypt. Bethany was a special place where love, where loss, and where resurrection met. This place, Bethany, was just 2 miles away from Jerusalem. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he didn't hurry to fix the problem. He waited, not because he didn't care, but because he loved his family and he knew the pain that they were experiencing. What followed wasn't just a miracle, it was a revelation. By raising Lazarus, Jesus showed who he truly is, his power over death, and invited those who witnessed that miracle to trust him. This act was a sign that was pointing to that greater hope that would come through Jesus' resurrection for all humanity. The tension around Jesus is growing. The religious leaders are watching him make miracles. They seek to arrest him because he's threatening their livelihood. And yet, here is Jesus sitting at the table with his friends, enjoying that family, enjoying himself. Martha is serving. Lazarus is there. And Mary does something that no one expects. She takes a jar of pure nard and she pours that over Jesus' feet. That expensive perfume worth of a year's wages. Then she wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. The Bible describes this action in a very specific detail and how the fragrance fills the whole house. I can picture the scene. Everyone is filled with joy because Lazarus is with them. And suddenly this glorious smell hits everyone. Something very important is happening in their midst, and you can't ignore it. It's Mary's incredible commitment and gratitude that are expressed by this totally unheard of action. Mary of Bethany has always been interested in Jesus' teaching. We read in another passage in the Bible about how Martha, her sister, is super busy trying to make everything ready, and Mary chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus. She preferred to sit there to listen to the master. Mary knows that this is what it takes to know Jesus. We must spend time with him. We must listen and learn and pay attention. We must be grateful and living with such a great attitude that leads us to give, just like Mary, the very best that Jesus deserves. She gives herself and she gives that of value that she has. Mary's response to Jesus is a response of love and humility, rooted in the understanding that Jesus deserves our very best. She embodies the attitude that says, I'm here to honor you, to serve you, to follow you. She takes a risk and spends everything that she has. That beautiful aroma of worship, of gratitude, of surrender, of faith, and a readiness to follow Jesus fills the entire room. That fragrance clings to her. Imagine if we live our lives with that same attitude. Mary reminds us that, like her, we are also witnessing in our lives the ways that Jesus is at work, opening the way for us, making miracles. Following Christ isn't about earning God's love. It's about responding to a love that has already been given. Mary's commitment is clear, and it makes me wonder, how might our commitment look different if we had seen Jesus bring someone we love back from the dead? This passage allows us to also see an alternative response to what Jesus is doing. Judas, who is close to Jesus and is one of the 12 disciples, has been there for all the teaching and all the miracles, all of it. Yet Mary, who has not been as close as Judas to Jesus, criticized her, her commitment, her action, her devotion. Judas brings up the poor, something that really, truly mattered to Jesus. But the truth is, Jesus' heart isn't there. He wants control. He wants the money. And he resists giving Jesus the attention and the priority that Jesus deserves. Judas' life isn't transformed. And Jesus makes it clear that Mary understands truly what matters. Loving our neighbor is essential. But that love grows out of the love we first receive and accept from God. Today, as America celebrates the Super Bowl, we are reminded of what people are willing to give for a game. Not only the players on the field, but the fans who spend time making bets, spending money, throwing parties, buying tickets, and so forth. But tonight, when the game is over, much of that devotion will fade. Some may move on, and even the jerseys that they bought to support the team, they may end up being tucked away or even discarded. Mary's devotion and commitment points us to something that doesn't fade. She points us to an action born of gratitude, of love, of trust, of surrender, and a faith that cannot fade when we prioritize it and is authentic. She reminds us of the importance of spending time with Jesus. Time that will transform us and lead us to accept not a trophy, but a gift. The gift that Jesus is to our lives. As followers of Jesus, we are not spectators standing at a distance. We are meant to be close to him. Faith is something, is not something we watched like the Super Bowl. Faith is something we practice. John Wesley understood that very well. That's why the Methodist movement grew. People got together in small groups and talked about their faith and their lives and read the Bible and prayed together. That's how faithful followers of Christ are formed. And in about 10 days, we will begin the season of Lent, a season when we can train and practice our faith. Lent is all about being intentional and focusing on what is important. That is why we have been inviting you to join a Lenten small group. If you have been watching from the sidelines, consider this as a gentle and very careful reminder to please join. If you are uncertain about your faith, think about and make that commitment to join a small group. This can be a season in which you can be able to start again if you have forgotten what is to be a follower of Jesus. If you're longing for something more, for God to feel real and present in your life, this is your moment. This Lent is the moment to take that step. Before you leave today, you will have the opportunity to go into the fellowship room and once again browse all the tables and see what groups are available for you. There are some online, some in person. Take a moment and choose one that feels right for you. This is our second sign-up event. Why? Because we want everyone to have the opportunity to experience, to be in community, and to learn more about Jesus. And if a small group isn't just what you're looking for, that's okay. Commitment to be a follower of Christ can take many forms. It might look maybe that you can serve someone who is in need. Maybe you can go to the shelter more often and serve food to those who live there. Maybe it's practicing more your generosity. Maybe it's starting to pray more often. Maybe it's start reading scripture. Maybe it's having an accountability partner during this season of Lent. Lent isn't about doing more, but it's about being more present. It's a season of practice, of showing up just as we are, like Mary. We bring what we have, and we place it at the feet of Jesus. Not to earn love, but to respond to the love that we have already received. So let's take one step. Whatever the step is for you, do it. Trust that Jesus will meet you there, where you are. Friends, Mary gave everything she had because she trusted Jesus. She had seen the wonders and miracles he had done. I bet you also have seen them in your life. So, Jesus is near you. Jesus is allowing us to take a step and to be committed to be his followers. So to end the sermon, I have one question. Are you ready for some Jesus? Are you? I hope you are. I hope you take the step. I hope you go and sign up for an event. I hope you pray. I hope you be generous. I hope you serve somebody who is in need.